Test 1, 2. I think we're good, Tammy. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? You guys good? Everybody good? Good to see y'all. All you Black House guys, y'all doing well? Good. Good. Let's just come in and begin to engage the Lord. I won't be long tonight. We're going to release some lanterns on the front lawn about 8 as a memorial to Rylan, and so we're going to be doing that here in just a bit. But Stephanie once said, I want to do regular Bible study and all that stuff. So we're going to come in and just we're going to dive in the Word and keep going on the teaching we've been doing on worship. And then I'll try to cut it off a little bit shorter than normal tonight. Y'all go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer before we get started, just to just flush our minds and just exhale as with the busyness of the day. We come in and just rest in Him as we study His Word, and just let His Spirit just wash over us tonight. And also, let's just begin to engage Him tonight. Brother Keith, you want to lead us in prayer?
Touch our hearts, Lord. Prepare our minds to receive the word, Lord. Just use Brother Sid as a mouthpiece, that he would bring forth what's needed in each and every case, Lord. Father, we don't know who it is. Passed by a funeral home, and there's a crowd there. Just lift up that family, Lord. We just we're thankful for this church. And the way that our pastor and his wife opened up their home to us, Lord. Father, we just pray blessings upon them. Pray blessings upon his business, Lord. Let him give him wisdom above and beyond measure, Lord. We just we thank you for this day and for what we're going to be doing after the service, Lord. We just we lift up the Harpers, Lord. Just continue to strengthen them. Ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
A few weeks ago, the Lord started speaking to me on worship, and you know, it's my life is a I try to make it a life that is a totally just, I don't know, immersed in worship, and worship takes many forms and all of that stuff. I love the music and the physical act of singing and praise and all of that stuff. But the Lord started speaking to me concerning worship and said, I want you to do some teaching on worship to the people. And the things that he spoke to me on this, none of them had to do anything with music or lyrics or anything like that. It was different acts of worship that we see in the New Testament, and one is no better than the other. All of them are lifting up our heart to God, recognizing who He is, giving Him the appropriate response for what He's doing in our life. If I come and I bring down my offering on Sunday, and I bring that and I give that to the Lord, that's just as significant if I'm standing down here, you know, with my hands lifted up or spread eagle in the floor or whatever, and, you know, jumping up and down worshiping my brains out. I've been in worship settings to where it looked like a mosh pit, and the presence of God has been tremendous in that. And then I've been in worship settings where everybody's laying in the floor crying like a baby. And those are very, very significant in themselves as well. And so you got that wide range of you know, the spectrum of that. But I want us to understand and get that our life is to be a lifestyle of worship, and that worship transcends what we do with, you know, when the band strikes up, or we're even singing psalms or hymns to the Lord. And I want us to understand that every aspect of our life, I believe when I go in and I can give the Lord the the appropriate response on a good day's work, whether it's on the farm or at KST or whatever, that's an act of worship. You know, the Word says to do all things as if you were doing them unto the Lord. And if I go in and I give it 100%, and, you know, I try to be excellent in everything I do, and I pour my heart into it, and I'm thankful. You know, so often we grumble about our jobs and the stuff we have to do and all that. Nobody probably liked up getting up this morning after a long weekend, but to go in. But when we go in and we have a good attitude, and this has nothing to do with the teaching, well, some, but not the three things that the Lord spoke to me. But when we go in and we have an awesome attitude and are thankful and appreciative, and we approach it as we're doing all things under the Lord, that's a form of worship. And when we begin to shift our mindset, then it moves a response from heaven. And that's what I want us to understand. As I look in these texts, the Lord carried me to three different individuals in the New Testament. All of them happen to be women. None of them have to do with singing or music or anything. And he told me that they were champions of worship. And we began to study them on Wednesday night a few weeks ago. The first one we looked at was the so-called sinful woman that was in Simon the Pharisee's house. And she came in and just began to worship Jesus. She fell at his feet and began to anoint him with oil and wash his feet with her tears and her hair. And the thing about the worship in that was Jesus, as he was recognizing her and rebuking Simon, he came in, and the thing that he identified in that is that he said that she loves me, and the worship that I'm receiving from her is her love and her adoration. Wasn't necessarily the oil, and it wasn't necessarily the tears. It was the heart behind the tears. And that moved him. And so we talked about that, and we said, you know, if we have the appropriate love for God and the heart for God, you know, the Word says that he who is forgiven much loveth much. And when we come in and we recognize who I was before Christ, I recognize who I am without Christ, without the Holy Spirit operating in my life, then the appropriate response to that is love. The Word says that we love him because he first loved us. And so we come in, and that's definitely an aspect of worship. You know, the second thing that we talked about was giving. We looked at the widow and the two mites that she came, and it was, from a monetary standpoint, it was nothing. But Jesus marveled at her faith through her worship, through the giving. And so much so, he used her as an object lesson. He came and called his disciples over, and we talked about this last Wednesday night. He said, guys, come here, I want y'all to check this out. And so they come in, and he starts teaching them about this woman. He said, you know, the people gave their riches into the treasury, but none of that moved him, but she gave all that she had. And we talked about how much does our journey cost us? And if our journey doesn't cost us anything, then, you know, I've heard Bill Johnson say this so many times, that if what we give does not move us, it will not move heaven. It will not move God. And we want to come in and we want to give God out of our abundance. We want to give him out of our leftover. And that doesn't stir heaven. And so when we come and we give, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's our giftings or whatever, from a sacrificial level, then that stirs and that moves him. So we talked about that. Tonight I want to come in and Matthew, and I want to talk about the story of the Syrophoenician woman. She was a woman that was, she was not a Jew, she was a Greek, and she was living in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and she had a daughter that was demon-possessed. And so she comes in and she approaches Jesus, and we want to talk about faith tonight. And faith is an act of worship. The Word says without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to please God. We can come in and we can go through all the motions and we can do all of the religious stuff and we can be faithful in giving, we can be faithful in church attendance, we can be faithful in doing good works and all of that stuff. But if we come in and we do not have faith, then it does not please God. It doesn't stir him. It doesn't move him. And, you know, the thing that we want to look at is the faith of this woman tonight. And I think it's evidenced by how quickly she gives up on something, or doesn't give up on something. I think a litmus test that we have for people on how bad they want something, or how bad they want kingdom life, how bad they want God moving in their life and all, is what does it take to derail them? If it doesn't take much to derail you in your journey of faith, then I don't think there's much faith in that journey. if it doesn't take too much to throw us off our game, Doyle, where we come in and it's like, well, you know, that didn't work out. I've seen people come in and you know, I've been in ministry for next year will be 30 years. And I've seen people throughout the years come in for a myriad of reasons and people will come in. They'll be in bad financial shape and they'll want to come in and they'll try God to get their finances corrected. And you'll see them, they'll come in and they'll be like, oh man, I'm just going to be in. They're like committed for 3 weeks. And when their finances don't turn around, they're kind of, all right, I'm out of here. I see people come in and want their marriage to get fixed. And they'll come in and they will, you know, really, really, oh, I'm going to chase after God and all of this stuff and everything. And when there's not an immediate fix in their marriage, I see them just fall out about as quickly as they fell in. And, you know, and there's no faith in that journey. And they're just wanting God to you know, grant be a genie and grant them a wish. But when we come in and we're unshakable and we won't be moved and we're stalwart in our faith and all of that stuff, then that's the foundational thing. That's the thing that moves God. And I see that in this woman here, even though that she was not of the Jewish nation. So we just want to talk about that a little bit tonight. Just if you've got input, please throw it out there and let's... kick around some, have some dialogue on stuff. We're going to start in Matthew 15 in verse 21. The corresponding scripture of this is in Mark 7, 24 through 30. So we may, we'll at least pull some of the wording from Mark 7 and look at it also. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. In Mark it says that he went into a house and actually tried to hide himself. Sometimes Jesus needed to back out of the fray and spend a little bit of time of exhaling. I think that's very important for all of us. And we don't tend like we don't do it enough. One thing that I see people doing is our lives are so chaotic and our lives are so busy, and every one of you guys is, and it doesn't matter who we are, our lives are just super, super busy. But we'll come in and we're like, all right, what is the one thing that I can cut out of my life? And usually it's our kingdom life. Because nobody's going to put pressure on us on that. It's one of those things. That's the easiest thing to drop. And, you know, and Jesus wasn't doing this to drop ministry, but he was just exhaling. And he would go and he would want to, you know, go off into a mountain with the disciples and pray and just relax and all of this. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, every time he tried to do this, people, though in Mark it says it was impossible for him to be hid. And that's the cool thing about it. I want to encourage you that when we are really in proper alignment with God and we're pressing in and we're in a good place and all that, it's impossible to hide our faith. It's impossible to hide our anointing. It's impossible to hide our hope and all of those things. Even if we're in a non-religious setting, you know, if I'm in the marketplace and I line up with God, guess what? It's going to be uncovered. If I'm out there in culture and I'm not in a religious setting, everybody's good in here, man. We all come in and we're all super spiritual and we're spirit filled and we're loving Jesus and everybody's name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and all that. Y'all see what I'm saying? You know, it's easy to be a Christian in this setting in here. It's easy for everybody doing good in this setting. You know, I don't have a problem with sinning when I'm in here. But when we get out in the marketplace and we get out in the world and all of that, and the reality is sometimes we get out there and you know, it's you can put a lid on it or you can put whatever on it. But when you are in proper alignment with God and when you're flowing in peace and hope and joy and all of these things, then it can't be hid. Me and Lori had a couple different occasions when we were in Argentina recently after spending a little bit of time with some guys. You know, spent about a day and a half with one guy and then another guy we'd spent a couple days with down there from Nationals from Argentina. And both of them, you know, said the same thing. They said, man, when we're around y'all, we just feel so much peace. There's just a peace about y'all. And y'all know what that was? That was just the peace of God that couldn't be hid in our life. Even though we were not, I was not down there on a mission trip, guys. I was down there to catch trout and shoot stuff. You know, that's why I went. And, you know, I didn't go down there to minister to the nations or anything like that. But even in that setting, the presence of God was overflowing. There's a residual that's going to overflow in our lives. And, you know, that's the awesome thing about Jesus. When he was trying to get out of the ministry mode, the people still found him. and ministry still happened. And sometimes that's our most effective place is when we're not looking for it. I can do more ministry outside these walls than I can in this altar or behind this pulpit with a microphone in my hand. Sometimes that's the most effective. People are looking for this, but they're not looking for it out there. And so when we can touch and minister and catch people in that setting, man, that's when it's awesome. But Jesus comes in. He's departing in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And it says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him." The Bible said she's worshipping him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I've always found this to be a very interesting story. It's, a lot of people would be offended with Jesus in this story. So a lot of people are offended with Jesus in this story. They're like, man, he is rude. He's just very standoffish to the woman to the point of he insults her. And he does. But I think Jesus was coming in, and I'm not trying to read through every line in this and interject that, oh, I've got all this great vision from heaven on this. But I really want to, I think that Jesus was wanting to see, how bad does she really want this? Is she willing to, when blind Bartimaeus was crying out to the Lord, did the Lord hear him the first time? Yeah. He heard him the first time. But yet he kept on crying out, to the point where everybody was trying to keep him quiet because he was an annoyance. But it was a thing where the Lord's like, do you really want this? I remember when y'all heard me say this before, some of you have, when the girls were little, you know, when malls were a viable thing, you know, I guess they're kind of phasing out now, but when malls were a viable thing, and the Disney store came into malls. Our girls were like, ooh, golly. Of course, my grandkids are like that, too. They were all about some Disney. And so we would always have, when we went to the mall, we always had to go in the Disney store. Well, when we went in the Disney store, Aaliyah wanted everything. You know, I mean, it was Amanda. She was just like, I want that and that and that and that and that. And as long as Mom and Dad were buying and it was easy, guess what? She wanted the store. But what we started doing was like, okay, if you want something, that's fine. You can get it. But guess what? You're paying for it. You're going to use your allowance to pay for it. Then all of a sudden, these little things that were going to tear up in 30 minutes didn't seem nearly as valuable to her. And she still bought some things occasionally, but she chose wisely. And she chose the things that she really, really, really wanted. You know, I heard Bill Johnson, and he was speaking about how God doesn't hide himself to not be found. He hides himself so that we can find him. He said, it's kind of like hiding Easter eggs. He said, you hide eggs so that they can be found. And God does not want to position himself so that the casual glance sees him. But he positions himself that those that diligently seek him, they shall find him. And so Jesus is with this woman here, and she's coming in. And she's bringing a need to the Lord. But she had everything going against her on this. And I really think that the Lord was sitting here, and he's saying, all right, I'll be found of you, and I have every intention of healing your daughter, but I want to see where your face at. I want to see how your heart is. And a lot of times, you know, people want God to fix things, but they're not wanting to invest anything in it. They want you to fix it for them, but they don't want to invest anything. You know, they'll come in, and they'll be like, hey, you know, we want this to fix a marriage. Okay, we can work on that. Now, when do you want to show up for counseling? We don't want to do counseling. We just want our marriage fixed. We don't want to go through financial counseling. We just, you know, forget Larry Burkett stuff and all of that stuff. We don't want any of that. We just want our power bill paid and all of this stuff. You know, so you start coming in. We even, you know, before CCC, and we were so involved with that, is, you know, we'd have people just show up all the time at the church wanting benevolence, wanting help. And so one of the things we did, just a small, small, simple thing, was we said, okay, if you want help, then you show up at church and you sit in a service. And you said they would come on Wednesday night. You sit in a service, And when the service is over, then you can sit down with a couple deacons and you can express your need to them, and then we'll fill out a request form and all of that stuff. You'd be amazed how many people that weeded out, just the fact that I've got to sit through a church service and sit down with two men that are going to ask me about my finances. They want the check to Georgia Power written, but they don't want to go through these small things. And so it weeded people out quickly. And if we think that we're going to come in and we're going to stir heaven and we're going to change the nations and shake the world and all of that stuff with a very, very casual approach to our faith, it's not going to happen, guys. And so I look at this woman, and Jesus marveled at her. And he said that she was a woman of great faith. And he granted her, he said, even as thou wilt. And he marveled at this woman. So let's look at a little bit of the background on her. Somebody please keep me plugged in with time. I think I'm going to be good because I'm not teaching long tonight, but don't let me run past. Just a few things on this. Number one, she was of the wrong nationality. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Greek. She was from, she was a Syrophoenician. And so that was a mark against her. A lot of times we feel like, man, I came from a dysfunctional family. I don't have any good Christian heritage. I don't have these generational blessings going on in my life. So that immediately disqualifies me. That does not disqualify you guys. It does not disqualify you. You know, maybe some of you guys that are going through the Blake house, you're sitting here and saying, man, I've kind of screwed up and made a mess of things. So that immediately disqualifies me. God doesn't have this big mark against you. And he said, well, he blew it. I'm never moving his life. You know, contrary to that, you know, God wants to come in and just stir and move and do all these things. He's wanting to know, are you willing to walk through some stuff? You know, Sunday I preached on us walking through things, and it was some good stuff. But, you know, she comes in, and immediately she's of the wrong nationality, and she's sitting here, and she's saying, man, I know I'm not a Jew, but I, you know, it's like the sinful woman. She was a prostitute, and she said, I know I'm not supposed to come in. The woman with the issue of blood, it was against the law for her to come in and touch a rabbi when she was in an unclean state. You know, she was bleeding constantly and through a constant menstrual cycle. And so it was illegal for her to come up and even touch a rabbi. But she said, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment because I need God to move in my life. And so I'm going to step out in this and get outside the parameters that whatever it is has confined me to. And so this woman comes in, she's wrong nationality. She said, I don't care, I'm going for it. And I've heard people time and time again tell me, they say, man, I can't hear from God because, you know, I'm not whatever. I don't have the spiritual DNA. I don't have the background. I'm uneducated. I don't have this or this or this. And God's like, dude, I'll blow all that out of the water. That's the farthest from the truth on that. I'll come in and I'll minister to you. If you just diligently seek me, I'll minister to you. I hear that a lot with people as we've kind of hit a prophetic vein here in the church. And there's been a lot of good prophetic words lately. I love it. Leah's been given some words and Errol's been given some words and different people have been given words. And it's awesome. And I love to see that. But some of you sitting here today, you're like, man, I can't move in the prophetic. I can't hear from God like that. I can't, you know, I don't have the courage or whatever to speak that into somebody's life. It does not matter on what the background is and all of that stuff. What matters is you make yourself available and say, you know, Jeff, you're not qualified to I mean, you're a policeman from Carrollton, you know, and you're over in the Philippines, you know, for a year at a time. And ministering to people, and you've got all this vision. And I love the change that I've seen from vision this year for previous years. I've seen the vision expand as we sat down a couple weeks ago and had lunch, and you were sharing the new vision. And you've got these boys moving in with you and to go into to study at the higher level of education and all of this stuff. And, you know, we come in and we're like, you're not from a, you know, you're not qualified for that, but you're qualified because of the kingdom. The thing that qualified this woman was her need and her faith. She responded to her need by faith, so that's what qualified her. And so I like this with this chick. She comes in and she's not supposed to be there, but she was. The second thing, and we really see this over in the Gospel of Mark, was she had to search to find him. It said he would have hid himself, But it said when she heard where she was, she sought him out. She had to search to find him. And, you know, it's like I was saying a while ago, we kind of want to find God and all these deep truths with a casual glance, and that's not going to happen. You know, we've got to press in. As we want to move in the deeper things of God, that's something that we have to seek for, and we have to press in, and we have to seek Him out in all of these areas. And just sitting here and waiting for it to fall into our lap and all of that stuff, she could have stayed at home and said, "Man, you know, my daughter, she's got demon possessed, and I got all this going on. Boy, I wish my circumstances would change. I wish my luck would change. I wish God would come by, you know, and visit me somehow." The story I like about Zacchaeus was he positioned himself and climbed the tree that was in the path that Jesus was coming down. And so often we sit here and we say, "Well, dang it, he's moving over there." Well, position yourself to have a collision with heaven. And we don't do that, but we have to position ourselves to collide with heaven. I want encounters with God, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to position myself to have encounters with God. And that's why we're here tonight. Hopefully that's why you're here tonight. And so she came in. She had to search to find him. The third thing I see in this was he didn't respond to her initial petition. How many things derail us? He did not respond to her initial petition. If we want to break it down and look at every one of these things, guys, all of these are acts of worship. If I come in when I'm not supposed to come in, but by faith I come in, you know what that is? That's worship, because I'm saying I believe God will receive me. Even though I'm a Gentile, I believe He'll receive me. Even though I grew up with this background, I believe God will receive me. Even though I have, you know, I've screwed up lately, I believe God will receive me. And so I'm going to come before Him. And that's worship, just in that mindset, it's worship. Every one of these things is an act of worship. By her diligently seeking and saying, "Man, I heard that Jesus was in the area. This man Jesus, I mean, I have no background with Him, just I heard that He's the Messiah, He's the Son of God. People say He can heal, people say that He can bring heaven in and all this stuff. So I'm going to search Him out and see who He is." And that was worship. That in itself is an act of worship. And so she comes out and she does this, and then she comes to Him and He didn't respond to her initial petition. How many of us say, "Oh well, and quit"? How many of you feel like God has ignored you sometimes? All of us. It's like heaven shut up and it's brass and man, my prayers aren't getting there. I don't hear God. God's not responding. God's not moving and all of that stuff. And all I can tell you on that is keep knocking. Keep knocking. And yes, absolutely. And you know what persistence is? Persistence is a form of worship. When I keep knocking, that's worship. When Bartimaeus kept crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me." When he kept crying out, that was just as much worship as me down here singing pieces. Or whatever great song we're singing now. It is well. And that was worship as she comes in. And she's persistent in this, even though he was... standoffish to her first response. He did not respond at all and her initial position. Then you come in on the next thing and the disciples are discouraging her. I mean, they're sitting there and they're saying, "Man, Master, tell her to shut up. She's getting on our nerves." That tells me she didn't just cry out once. She kept on and on and on to the point that they were annoyed by it. And they're like, "Look, lady, he's not going to move on you. He's doing other stuff, or you're the wrong nationality, or whatever the deal is." But just to the point where they said, "Lord," I'm sure all of them were giving her the stink eye. And some of them may even have said, "Look, lady," she's like, "Man, I ain't going to be denied. I am not going to be denied because my need is too great." The thing with us, guys, I think, is we don't realize how big our need is. We think when we get saved that all of a sudden our need's gone. Lord's constantly reminding me, "Dude, you need me as much now as that you're in this thing as you did when you were outside this thing." And that's the one reason that we're so not just short-sighted, but we're so unpersistent, is because we really don't think that we have that huge of a need. We're like, "Well, if it works out, that's great. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay too." But when we recognize the significance of the need, Not just the fact that she had a daughter that was demon-possessed, but you fill in the blank with your life. You know? TW, last night we were just talking about Michaela turning 16 and she's out driving now and all that stuff. And all's well in your world, man. I mean, you just got a promotion at work and, man, you got a beautiful family and everything's great and all of that stuff. And you're sitting here and you say, man, God, there's not any need. You got a 16-year-old daughter on the road in a car driving right now. There's huge need in your life. God, just be a hedge of protection for her. God, send the right guy along because I don't need some, you know, goon come in wanting to date her and all of this stuff, you know. And I know you think ain't none of them out there good enough and all. I'm with you, you know, as a father and all that stuff. But right now your need is just as significant as it was at the biggest time where you're like, man, I'm just in despair. Even though everything's going good, there's still this huge need. And so that's why we've got to be persistent in our approach to God. Persistent in recognizing the need that we have. Even if we don't get initial response or we don't see something happening right there, keep pressing in, guys. Keep pressing in. And so I see her coming in and Jesus is not responsive to her. Everybody else is trying to discourage her. I know none of y'all ever had that happen, right? Where everybody's trying to discourage you. You got this big dream and it's like everybody's shooting it down. You're like, you know, they're raining on your parade and man, I'm wanting to just roll in this glory cloud and God's speaking all these things to me and all of that stuff. And everybody's saying, man, not now. Now's not the time or that's not the way or this or this or this. But be persistent in that. So I see her coming in and she's persistent in this. Then the next thing that I see is she did it right. And she says, oh Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. And then she comes in and she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And she's doing it right, and he insulted her. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And if we look at this from face value, we'd be like, man, Jesus is hard in this and everything. But I really think that, man, he's checking her heart and he's seeing where her heart's at in this. He's saying where her faith's at in this. And, you know, her faith in this is worship. And so he comes in and he insults her on this. But then she persisted. I love her answer in verse 27. She comes in verse 26 and he says, but he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Y'all remember the story in the temple of the two people that went down to pray? And one of them was a sinner and knew that he was a sinner, and one of them was a religious person and knew the other guy was a sinner. And they went down, and the one guy came before God, and he prayed, and he says, Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like this joker over here, and that, you know, I've got it going on, and, you know, you put me in this good position and all this. And then the one guy just smote himself on the chest and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And who did God respond to? The sinner, the guy that recognized he's a sinner. And this lady comes in and here's what I really think that triggered it. And here's what the really her faith, the worship in her faith that got this thing going on. Well, she came in and she understood that I can't receive anything from God on my merit. So I'm not playing on the fact that I've got it going on and I'm doing good. The thing that I'm playing on is His mercy. My faith is not in my goodness, but my faith is in His goodness. Everything in my life is predicated on the goodness of God. It's not predicated on whether or not, Doyle, I'm doing good, and, you know, man, I'm tithing, I'm generous, I'm giving to the poor, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm praying, I'm studying my Bible, I'm going to church 3 times a week or 6 times a week or whatever, and all that. And what we do, I think, often, is when we come in and we think we've got it going on pretty good and I'm in proper alignment with God and all that, then when I come in and I make my petition with Him, surely God's going to move, because I'm doing so well. And the reality is when we approach it like that, our faith is not in His mercy and His goodness. Our faith is in on our goodness. And that's some shaky ground right there, guys. That's some ground that we can't build anything on. You think about that. Now, that's some food for thought for you right there. When I come in and I think because I'm doing so good, God's going to respond, I'm basing my anticipation on the fact that my righteousness is good right here. That my works are good right here. My goodness is good right here. Therefore, heaven's going to move. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing I can do in myself that can cause heaven to move. But when I come in and I say, God, you're a good God. And you're a merciful God. And sometimes I don't understand your ways, but I'm going to defer to the fact that you love us and that you work all things to good to those who love you and are called according to you. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to put my faith and put my trust on your goodness, on your righteousness, on your holiness. He tells us to have faith as little children. When my grandchildren come up to me needing something, wanting something and all of that, Z's not coming up and saying, Gigi, I want a piece of candy because I've been such a good boy. He's coming up and saying, Gigi's a sucker and she loves me. So I'm going to play on that. He's not saying I've been awesome. He's just saying, Gigi, you're awesome. Can I have a piece of candy? Right? That's childlike faith. They don't even know that, man, I'm a rock star today or I'm bad today. They just know that mama's good or daddy's good or Gigi or Poppy are good. And so they play on that. That's childlike faith. They don't come in and weigh this out and say, I've been exceptionally good today, and I've done this, this, and this, and this, and this, and it's calculated and everything. They're simply coming in and saying, man, you know, when my grandkids come to the shop, they go run in and see Cindy because Cindy keeps some, you know, candy stashed in there, and so they want to see Miss Cindy. And you know, it's not a thing. I've been awesome today and made straight A's in preschool or anything like that. It's just, hey, Miss Cindy, you're good. Do you have some candy for me? That's childlike faith. And so I want us to get and understand that all of these things are predicated on His mercy and His goodness. That's what she was playing on right here. And when we do that, that's faith, that's worship. And heaven responds to that. So, you know, that's just what I'm seeing with this lady in here tonight, is that one of our greatest acts of worship, it's just when we have faith and trust in Him. You know, a lot of people come in, and when you talk about us being people of worship and children of worship and all of that before God, they say, that's not my personality, you know, which I typically don't buy that, because those same guys, I've seen them at Auburn football games, you know, with body paint on and acting a fool and all that stuff, and they say, well, I'm just not out there like that. I've seen them in bars after they've had a, you know, couple shots at tequila or something like that, and their real personality starts coming out and everything. Yep. Amen. But when we come in and we say that's been demonstrative like that is not my personality, well, is faith your personality? Is generosity your personality? There are many, 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 many forms of worship. And so I just want us to tap into all of these things and recognize the significance of that in giving an appropriate response to God. So, anybody got any comments tonight? Like I said, I'm going to keep it short tonight, and we're not going to get all wound up and get tight on everything. Anybody got any comments? Lori, you got anything? You good tonight, baby? All right, let's stand to our feet. Shock, y'all. Never been that quick on teaching. Yes, ma'am.
Not to share because the emails that went out. Kaylee is on her way home. All the MRIs, the EEGs. There's no swelling in her spine. There's no swelling in her brain. She's giggling. She's laughing. It's like the last 4 days never happened. So my stepmother said, "Thank you so much for praying for her," because she knows that it was for prayers and the goodness of God that Kaylee's coming home today.
That was the young lady that had spinal meningitis, was diagnosed with spinal meningitis recently, and Cindy's been sending out emails over the weekend on that. And so they got the right antibiotic that lined up with the virus, and it's and she's responding to that tremendously. So yay God for that. Anything else? Everybody remember VBS coming up in just a few weeks. Sign up, hit TIFF up, and say, hey, what do you need me to do? Decoration week, everybody. All right, decoration week, everybody. Y'all, let's step up for that, okay? And I know you always do, so let's step up for that. So, cool theme this year, going to impact some kids. So, everybody remember that coming up in a couple weeks. Anything else? All right, we're going to, if you want to come and just spend a little time in the altar. Not a big altar call tonight, but if you want to take communion, if you need prayer for anything, I'm here. Any of you ladies, Lori's here, Leah, we can come down. We'll pray with you on stuff. Any of you guys have needs, me and Brett, Keith, any of us guys, be happy to pray with you guys. And let's just give the Lord just a little bit of time, and then we're going to go out and we're going to have a memorial service out on the front lawn and release some lanterns tonight. So we'll do that in just a moment. Jeffrey, you want to hit just a little bit of praise and worship music? Amen. Father, it's just good to be in your house, and we just thank you for the peace and the rest that we find in here. We thank you for everyone that's come out tonight. I pray your blessings on them. Just be with all the guys in the Blake house, and Lord, just stir and just move and just meet them at where they are in their journey of faith. And likewise with all of us, Father. And we love you and we lift you up. And we don't come today standing in our goodness or standing in our strength, but we fall completely on you. And we worship you through faith tonight, faith that you've got this and faith that you love us and that, Lord, you'll bring us to an expected end. And we just love you and we lift you up, Fathers. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.